the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for your giving. God's good, isn't he? All right, then. We will, let's see, open our Bibles to the book of St. John. And we will look in the 15th chapter of St. John. Remember what I told you we was going to do today? We was going to write down what we were believing for. Amen. And we was going to agree on it. Hallelujah. And we was going to see it come to pass. I mean, believe that. We have to have our faith challenged. We have to have something to push us to believe God. Always believe God. Your faith keeps you alive. You live by faith. Amen? Faith is money, heaven's money. That's how you get things from heaven. It's faith. You believe God. That's how you got saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus gave us faith. He birthed our faith. He authored and finished our faith, the Bible says. He authored it. In other words, he brought it into existence. He finished it, proved it worked, and gave it to us. Romans chapter 12 said that every man is given a portion of faith. Now, that means you have faith to live by in God. You live by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith. Not by sight, we walk by faith, live by faith. And you say, well, what is faith? Well, do you believe there's a heaven? If you do, that's called faith. Because you never saw heaven. You have no natural reason to believe there is a heaven. There's nothing in the natural to prove to you there's a heaven. Nothing. All you're going by is what the Bible says. What a preacher says. And you govern your whole life based on that. On what you believe. You're expecting to go. And when we have believers who die, today we're having a memorial service for Kathy's sister. She's in heaven today. She probably watched our service this morning. Because the Bible says there is a grandstand in heaven. And all the believers that's gone on to heaven, they can look down here and watch us if they want to. If they want to. And they cheer us on to make it. Amen? So she's in heaven today. How do I know that? I have no natural, anything in the natural to tell me she is. But we're not grieved. We're not sorrow as the Bible says those who don't believe have sorrow. We don't grieve like they do. We're sad because we miss them. But we don't sorrow as those who don't have faith, who don't believe sorrow. Because we know. Hallelujah. And by knowing, it gives us great hope. You know, I've lost my dad went to heaven. My mom went to heaven. All my aunts and uncles went to heaven. My daughter went to heaven. And Kathy's mom, her dad, her mom's not in heaven. She's in Burnsville. That's almost heaven. But not yet. So when we think about it, those who don't have hope are sorrowed and grieved. To a point that they're overcome with grief because there's no hope. But those who believe will never be made ashamed, the Bible says. Those who believe have that hope. Doesn't matter what it is. And sometimes I'll just get to thinking, and you know, when a little sadness starts coming on me or whatever, I'll just stop and think, wonder what they're doing in heaven today. Wonder what they're doing. Mary Baxter, you know Mary Baxter? She'll be here in April. April the 17th, 18th, 19th. Amen. We contacted her, and she was here one time, and you know, she went to heaven. She got a book, said, "Heaven, I saw heaven." She got another book, said, "I saw hell." I like to read one on "I saw heaven." That's where I'm going. I don't care a whole lot about hell. But she was here the last time she was here. She, out of nowhere, she just got Kathy by the arm, and she said, Catherine, wasn't it? Called her Catherine. Said, "You can't imagine the peace." Said, "The peace is just so overwhelming." Talking about heaven. Said, "The peace, the peace." And it's real. And so that gives us hope. See, the Bible says, in this life, if this is all we have, we are people most pitiful. Wow. If this is all we have, if this is all there is, it's pitiful. But thank God this is not all there is. I govern my whole life, live my whole life, and around the fact that I believe a few scriptures, there's a heaven. I'm going there. There's a reward waiting for me based on my works here on earth. I get a reward based on how I serve the Lord, my attitude, my motive in it. And so I work with that goal. When I see him and stand before him, I want to hear him say, "Well done. Enter into my rest," or "your rest." "Enter into your rest now, son. And you'll be rewarded or assigned or given assignment for what is to come past that reward seat." Bible says judgment, but it's really a reward seat where you go before Jesus and he hands out rewards and awards. And there'll be crowns. Crowns are based upon, it's an award system. And that crown is based on your works, what you did. And there's a crown for different things. I think there's about 7 different crowns. And those crowns tell everybody else what you obtained while you was on this earth. And you'll walk around and everybody will say, "Hey, that guy there, this, that, the other on the earth." This one guy, this one preacher had a vision, or he was taken to heaven, and he saw this famous preacher in heaven. And he talked to him and he said, "I know you. You're so and so. You were really famous on the earth." He said, "Yeah, but up here, I'm not famous." He said, "I don't have much up here." He said, "I don't have much of a reward here." He said, "Because I, down there, I had a great ministry in the eyes of the people. But up here, they saw it for what it was. I used the people to have a great ministry. And it's all taken away from me. I have none." Wow. We think it doesn't matter. We think we're all going to heaven, float around on a little old cloud and play harps. Ding, 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 ding. What a dumb place to go. That's not heaven. No, you're going to get this body back one day. Yeah, after it's all over, past the reward seat, Jesus, you get your body back. You'll have this body. It won't look like this. You know, all that big, you know, look like. You'll say, "Who is that good-looking man?" We'll have a new body. Bible said, "Your spirit will enter into that." We'll, if we die and go to heaven, you'll stay there. It's a holding place. And you'll stay there until everything's over here on earth and it's finished. And pass the reward seat. We get our bodies and all that back. Then we come back to earth. And we'll rule and reign here with Christ based on your position that you'll have due to what you've earned now. Promotion comes from the Lord. That's why he gave one guy in the Bible one city. Gave one guy five cities, one guy 10 cities. Say, you were faithful in what I gave you to do. Now, I'll make you ruler over this city. I'll make you ruler over this. I'll give you this. I'll give you a whole nation. I'll give you the country. I'll give you 5-6 cities to rule over. Or I'll give you positions in those great positions of authority. That means something now. Things won't change, my brother and sister. We're still going to be what we are, and how we move is just going to change places. And we'll come back. We'll get our assignment. We'll get our rewards and what we're to do. Then Jesus will come. He'll sit in Jerusalem, and he'll be there physically. And we'll rule the earth with him. We will rule the earth. He'll be just like it was when he started it. God doesn't stop anything. He finishes what he started. And what he started in the Garden of Eden, he'll finish in the millennium. Perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect health. We'll have everything Bernie Sanders is trying to go and get, you try to give you, which they can't. Socialism won't work. Godism will. And we'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, and hallelujah. Then at the end of that 1,000 years, we'll be taken off the earth, and he'll burn everything up. After we worked 1,000 years to clean it up, straighten it up, build it up, make it look like man wants to make and all that, and he'll burn it up. So it don't matter what you build, going to die, going to burn up. Don't make any difference. Then he'll create, according to what Peter says, a new heaven and a new earth. He'll create a whole new universe and create a new earth. There'll be no more seas. He'll take away the oceans. There'll be great, you know, nice lakes and rivers and all that. He won't do away, but it'll be a perfect earth without any sign of man. Then, guess what? You're coming back on this earth for eternity. Wow. So, all the environmentalists is trying to save it, forget it. We're going to get it. We're going to wind up with it. Praise the earth, the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. The meek shall inherit the earth. The earth's ours. Now, how do I know that? Well, there's a few scriptures tell me that. I believe that. Somebody never heard that. So that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. May be crazy to you. The Bible says the things of God are foolishness to him that doesn't believe. Foolishness. But to him that believes, hallelujah. So you're more of a believer than you think you are. The devil tries to tell you you don't have faith, tries to tell you you can't believe, and you're believing the whole time. You're here this morning because you're a believer. You believe. You're born again because you believe. You're going to a heaven because you believe. I work for the Lord because I believe. I'm working for a payday. I'm working for a reward. I'm working for that. If it wasn't for that, these things wasn't true, and if we just died and burned up or went to the grave, why are we doing this? It's foolishness. I discipline my life. I structure my life. I govern my life based upon what I believe. I believe some scripture. And I believe it so much that I sell out my whole life to it. To some scriptures. To some words written down on a page. But they're more than words. They're living. They're life. That goes inside of me. And causes me to believe. And when my loved ones are gone and passed on, I say, wonder what they're doing up there. See, there's just a small veil that separates us from that place. If we could somehow pierce that veil, or if the Lord decided just to pull that back, you could see over there. You could see. But that's just that veil. Howard Pittman wrote about it in one of his books, The Veil. When you die, you just pass through that veil. And there's another section there that you go through and things occur in that and you pass on and go on to heaven. Thank God I'm a believer. I give this morning because I believe. I expect to receive because I believe. Everything I have, I've got because I believe. Everything. I don't have anything I didn't get that I didn't get because I believe. You're a believer. Do you know that? Say that. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the name of Jesus. And so we're still here on this earth. And so there's things we need and things we want to carry out the work of God to make our life better. After all, we're His children. He's our Father. And as a good father, the children can go ask him for things to make our life better. I wouldn't, you know, my kids or, you know, or and Morgan, Joshua and Penny's kid. I mean, if you owned, you know, if you was rich and multi, if you was like the Queen of England, you know. Those two people are leaving, you know. Going away and leaving the Queen. Leaving. And it's just like you say, well, now, I've got everything, but I don't want you to have anything much. You just need to barely get along. You don't need to leave, you don't need to live in a good house or wear nice clothes. You just need to barely get by. Well, that's not most parents I ever hear when talking to their kids. Even my parents said, I want my kids to have a better life than I have. That's the way we are.
Yeah.
Everything in life as a parent is about your kids.
Yeah.
Now, the kids don't look that way about to their parents. It's like, oh, that's mom and dad. I got a life to go, you know. I'll come back and see you when I can. I got a life to live by. Zip. Not to the parent. Everything is about their kids. Especially when you get older, you wonder, well, but around, you know, holidays, what if my kids going to come? Who do they call? You know, whatever. My mama used to worry about me not calling her. So I was the worst in the world not to, still am today, call her. They got the Red Cross looking for me one time in Vietnam. I hadn't written a letter in so long they thought I was dead. Mama got uneasy and thought I was dead. I said, well, it's not been that long. Hadn't been 2 or 3 months. Well, I got busy. You know, we want to hear from our kids. We want to know how our kids are. And the older you get, the more it means to you. Well, you think the Father, He said, you being natural like that, how much more is your Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to those who love Him? His kids. His kid. You're His kid. You're His children. Ephesians chapter 2 says, in ages to come, He'll still be showing you the exceeding riches of His grace toward you. You know, you've heard me say it before. 1,000 years from today, he'll say, come over here and let me show you what I've got for you. I've got something for you. Well, you know, I've got... You've been too good to me. He said, let me show you what I've got. He'd be showing you ages to come his exceeding riches toward you. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is when David sinned, got away from God, and the Father told him through the prophet. He said, "You know, I found you when you was just a little country boy, keeping the sheep, and I loved you. And I brought you to the palace, and I made you king, and I gave you everything, made you wealthy beyond anything you could ever imagine, gave you great authority and power and respect and honor from everyone." God did that. And here's what it gets you. And he said, "And if that wasn't enough, all you had to do is ask me." Wow. Now, if that won't make you repent, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. That's what made David's heart break. "Oh, God, I have disappointed you so much. And if that wasn't enough, all you had to do was ask me." Wow. Just asking him. You see, the Lord, you know, he wants us, he knows us, but he wants us to know him. He gives to us, he wants us to give to him. He talks to us, he wants us to talk to him. We walk with him, he walks with us. We live with him, he lives with us. We walk together, talk together, share together, live together, everything together. Wow. That's a good life. Praise the Lord. Money don't mean nothing. It'll come and go. But God will grant you the desires of your heart. Now, the key is, if it's the will of God. This is a confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, I've explained this to you. I can't get up and pray. "Now, Lord, I'm just going to believe you for the Biltmore house. I was over there, and they make a lot of money. And that's a big house, and I'm going to just ask you for that and write that down and believe it." Well, you know that's foolishness. But some people do just such foolish things. As a guy came here one time, a businessman, and he said he was believing God for, I don't know, his $30 million or something. That's just so carnal. Then he got old, so upset, angry at God because nothing ever really happened and God didn't prosper him and God didn't make him rich. Well, you know, you're too immature for God to do anything. Anybody ask anything that foolish? That's not even in, that wasn't God. I mean, he's just trying to pay his rent, make a house payment. And he said God told him he's going to give him $30 million. No, I always call that a vision. That's mixed between a vision and a wishing. You wish that was a vision. That wasn't from God. Had this guy, had a good church, going pretty good. He said God told him that he was going to have 1,500 people. Well, I could tell, you know, in just a little while, that come out of your head. That didn't come out of your spirit. God didn't tell you that. And so through the pressure of church and going, you know, people and people coming and people going and you starting to build and all of a sudden half of them leave and they're over to the next church and around. That's called church in the last days. That's like I pastored half the people in Asheville one time or the other. If everybody stayed here to come here, we'd have a mega church. No doubt about it. We'd have well over 1,000, 2,000, you know. But that's just how it is. And with that going on, he got just so discouraged and just give up and quit. quit the whole thing because you never did get 1,500 people. Well, you better know what God says. And when you get some kind of wild thought in your head, you better make sure it's out of your heart. You have to prove all things. Prove these things are of God. You have to wait. They have to be confirmed. God will confirm things to you if it's really Him. Then through faith and patience, they receive the promise. Then you have to go through all the things, like we said Friday night, building character. You have to go through all everything, like we said Friday night. Then faith works through love. You have to die to self. And a whole lot of things process before God can ever do what He wants to. And, you know, the big things. But when it comes down to just believing for things in our life like we're doing here today, God will grant you the desires of your heart. Well, are you over in John's Gospel? Well, you know what I say. If you're not, forget it. You'll never find it. Verse 7, if you abide in me, that means live in me, and my words live in you. That's the key to your success. If my word lives in you, you will ask what you, what's your Bible say, King James? Desire. Wow. Now that word desire, that's a good one. Means to want something strongly. To have a longing for, a strong feeling for, a desire. If God's word lives in you, you will ask what you're desiring in you. And we're going to show you where God gives you desire. God, if you walk in God's word and you seek God, seek His kingdom, and just go to church, worship Jesus, hallelujah, study the word and tithe and do what you're supposed to do, every day, just do what you find to do that day for the Lord. Forget about next year, next month, next week. Just what you find to do today. Well, what's today? Today is the day the Lord hath made. We get up, and probably we go to work, on the way to work. You know, you probably jump out of the bed and you have to drive fast to get there because you're late. On your way to work, you know, you can just slip a CD or something in the player and play the scripture. Get some words started. Or a good word song. Don't just always play music. It won't build anything up in you. Music just waters what you got in you. And hear the word and, you know, if it's 5 minutes. Find what you do. Go to work and do as unto the Lord. Just work for the Lord. Like He's your boss. Then you come home, and you know, if you have time, God understands. You know, you nothing else. Say, Father, I thank you for this day. You know, just keep God on your mind all the time. You have, you know, time, you know, read the word. Do what you find to do today, you know, as the Lord. And just do that. And as you follow God, there's something will happen. All of a sudden, a desire will come on the inside of you. Well, you know, we live here, and, you know, I've been satisfied here, but all of a sudden, I just have a desire for another house. Are you out there? I wait on that to happen. I have a desire. I just have something that's just in me. And after a while, if you just keep serving the Lord, following the Lord, not following things, that desire will get stronger. I just have a desire. I need to make more money. I need a promotion. You know, I feel like I've went as far as I can go on this job or whatever. I'm just going to believe God for another job. Wait for the desire. Amen? I was going out the road. One night I've told you this, and I just, there for a while, I was just going along, and, you know, I don't know how many cars and trucks I've given away, 15, 17, something, I don't know. give quite a few away. And for no reason, wanted to bless people. Buying things, buying cars for people, whatever. And I had a desire, just a desire. Wasn't anything real strong. I like to have a new pickup truck. I like to have a new truck. And I just driving along, and I start looking at those Dodge trucks. And I thought, man, I like those Dodges. Doc Barclay had one. I rode with him one day, and I just liked his truck, real nice. I said, and I was asking him all about it. I said, I liked him. Wasn't having any intention of buying a truck. Wasn't having any intentions of going in debt buying a truck. I didn't need one, especially going debt for it. But I just went on that desire. And all of a sudden, one day, I got a Dodge truck. My birthday here, church bought it for me. 2014. And we took off. I didn't know where we was going. I thought we was going to look at a van or something. A bunch of us went out through there. Then we got out there, and Matt told me, I think, what he was going to do. And said, now you just decide. We've decided. We've been saving up money. We decided you just get whatever you want. I said, I know what I want. Well, you just take your time. And Mike Ayer said, just take your time. I said, I know what I want. And he's sitting there on the, I said, this is it right here. This is it. No need to look any further. No need to even talk about it. This is what I want right here. This is it. Well, see, that desire had been in there, and I'd been looking. I already decided what I wanted. Like the color and everything. Understand? Now, I wasn't going to go buy it. I was just looking and thought I had a desire. Nothing else. I would have just kept that desire and said, man, that's a nice truck. I like that truck. I just like those trucks. And I just went on. Amen? But desire produced faith. Things work like that. Kathy and I believed for a house for years, And we sold and give and all that. And I just drew down on a piece of notebook paper, kind of what was in my heart. The desire, if I was drawing it today, my desire is totally different today for a house than it was then. If I was building a new house, we'd build it different. The one we've got, but the one we've got, fine. Stay there if the desire changes. And guess what finally happened? Boom. There it came. Faith. Notice what it says. If you'll get my word inside of you, and you'll live in that word, and you'll live for me, if you live in me and I live in you, you will ask what you desire. Ask for what you desire. Now look with me in Psalms 37. Are you enjoying it? Psalms 37. I love Psalms 37. See, it's not hard. Now, when things hit us, like sickness and disease, or, some disease come on you, well, naturally you desire health. Naturally you desire to get better. That's already in you. So you can ask. That desire for long life and that desire to live and that desire for health, that's already there. You already have a desire to prosper. You already have a desire to do get better. But prosperity is conditional on where you're at. Prosperity to us here in America, you have to have a family. You have to have at least two vehicles. You have to have a nice house. You have to have nice clothes, whatever. That's just a need, basic needs. And prosperity is always having more than enough. That's prosperity. Now, over in India, prosperity of those preachers would be a nice house, maybe a motorcycle. That's prosperity. And we've made a lot of them over there prosperous. It's conditional where you're at. Prosperity is having more than enough in every situation. Not lack all the time or barely getting by. Prosperity is having what you need, barrel full, more than enough. That's prosperity. It's not greed is having excess and stuff piled up. That's not prosperity. That's greed. Covetousness never has enough. Psalms 37. Look in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Well, do good. You know, y'all know how to do good. Right and wrong. You do good. Kids, teenagers, young people, do good. Don't go off and go to college and all that, start doing bad and doing wrong. You're going to wind up in a mess. You start sowing, you will reap. Dwell in the land and feed on God's faithfulness. What land? Wherever he puts you. Just stay there. Delight. Now here's what we do. These are things we do. We trust. We do good. We dwell in the land or wherever he put us. We feed on his word, not his faithfulness. And we delight ourselves. Delight means great satisfaction and joy for something or someone who gives us great pleasure. Something that gives us great pleasure. Something that pleases us are things that brings us great joy. Delight. Delight in whatever that brings you pleasure. Some people delight in eating two big pieces of cake. Well, that will produce something. And if your life is a carnal life and your thinking is only carnal, you'll only delight in things of the world. Galatians 6, and you sow to that, you'll reap of that. There you'll reap, no doubt about it, but you're delighting yourself in the wrong thing. Delight yourself. You have to create a passion for God. You have to create a delight for the things of God. You do that. You have to create a delight in going to church. David said he was delighted to go to church. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. He said, doorkeeper in the house of God. He said, I was thrilled when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of God. And you read the Psalms, how David was so delighted in the things of God. He delighted himself in God from a young boy out in the shepherd's field watching the sheep. His only delight in life was his God. But he created that through his worship. He didn't have the Bible like you had. He didn't have the book of Psalms. He hadn't written it yet. He had nothing but the five books of the Old Testament. And I doubt if he had one he carried around with him. He just knew about God. And they talked to him about God. And he delighted himself in God. And he would look at the stars, look at the heavens, and see God all around. He so delighted himself in God. When God got ready for a king, he's the first one God went to. He said, I know a guy that's after my heart. I'll pick him to be king. I don't care how old he is. He's a kid. But I'll pick him. Why? Why did God choose David? Of his delight in his God. And here he wrote, this is a Psalm of David. He's telling us the secrets. If David was prosperous and successful, then he'd made it. He was telling us the secrets. He says, if you want it, delight yourself. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you can look at that both ways, and both ways are true. He puts it in there, and he brings it to pass. That's what the book of John says. If my word abides in you, it will create a desire. 1 John chapter 5 says, and this is a confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his word, he heareth us. He has created a delight in us, a desire in us. The word of God creates, if you read it, it'll create in you a desire. The woman with the issue of blood desired more than anything else to be healed. And she pressed through the crowd and touched his garments, for she said over and over and over and over, if I touch him, I'll be healed. If I touch him, her desire pressed her past every opposition, a desire so strong it would not be denied. Hannah desired a child more than anything. God put that desire in her for a reason. God needed a prophet. It was his desire, God's desire, to have Samuel born, but he could not birth that without a desire. So he put a desire in a woman who was barren and could not have children. And he placed that desire on the inside of her, and she cried night and day, God, I cannot live if you don't give me a boy. If you don't give me a son, Lord. And she cried. It produced an intercession in her. It produced a cry in her. And when the cry got to where it's supposed to be, God granted that. See, God can't work by past desire. He can't work past your desire, whatever you desire. That's what Satan works with. Temptation based on your own desire. So if you give your desire, or you let your desire be created by the things of the world or by the carnal nature, then you'll have wrong desires. But whatever you desire, you'll go after. You'll go after whatever you desire. That's why you have to watch what you set your affection on. It'll produce a strong desire within you. Amen? There's desires. Things starting to come in my heart about things in ministry. I just walk with God, just go down that road, just walking, matter not to me, just walking with God, and he begins to drop desire in you. See, a long time, I didn't want to be a preacher. I had no desire for that whatsoever. But one day, then I told the Lord, okay, I'll do anything but pastor. I will not pastor. Then I was praying. One day, out the counter, one night, walking the floor out there praying about a pastorate, about a church and all. And I stopped and I said, you tricked me. You tricked me. Now here I am asking you for something you used to. I didn't want to ask you not to do it. Now I'm asking you for it. What changed? Desire. I walked with God. He put inside of me what he desired for my life, and that desire produced faith in me to call out to God for it. Lord, this is what I desire. Are you out there? Well, what do you desire? Do you desire something? Or you just want to snatch something out of there? Well, I'm going to see. I'm going to believe for this. Well, forget it. Forget it. Do you desire to see some of your family members saved? Do you desire to be closer with God? Do you desire a new house? Do you desire a new car? Do you desire a new job or promotion? Make more money for the things of God? If God's taking care of you, you don't need, I'm desiring to be multi rich. And that's covetousness. That's desire produced through the lust of the flesh. You know the difference? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, do you have your papers? You wrote your things down on? And God will give you. You say, well, Pastor, I've not written anything down. Well, this message this morning will produce in you a desire for desire. Lord, please place in my heart a desire for what you want me to do, where you want me to go, what you want me to be, what you want me to have. You can trust him. What did David say? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You can trust him to put the right desire on the inside of your heart. You can trust him. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't want to be stuck here forever. I don't want to have this job. Lord, I don't want to live here. Lord, please place inside of me a desire and show me then what to do. Then when that comes inside of you, you'll start praying, Father, I have a desire for more. That's a good desire, more of God, more of things. But see, the word's what produce. You can't go wrong when the word's in you. It won't produce covetousness or greed. It produces things God wants you to have. You say, God, I don't know. I just have a desire to be rich. I got to know it's your heart. You have to judge yourself now and see whether that's coming out of your flesh. What's your passion? What would you do with it if you had it? Well, what are you doing with it now? That's what you'd do with it if you had it. If you're spending it all on yourself and you have to, fight yourself to pull your checkbook out to write tithes, your desire to be rich is not from God. Because you're what are you doing with it now? What's your passion now? You want to help people? Are you helping people now? Does God have to tell you, don't give it all away, don't do this, don't do that, Are you out there? Praise the Lord. If you have a desire, I want my kids to grow up strong, be blessed, read Psalms 112. Let that produce a desire in you. Then you'll pray for your kids. They'll be mighty on the earth. I have a desire. My kids are going to be mighty on the earth. They're going to be great. They're going to do great things for God. They're going to live great. Cast a long shadow. My kids are. That's a great desire from heaven. Amen. Well, get your paper out. And we'll agree here. And, like I said, if you didn't write anything down, don't stop. Don't just be passive. The saddest person in the earth who has no desire for anything of God, they're very dull. They're just here, they go to church, take naps. What's your greatest desire? Well, I'm thinking about something good to eat. That's called flesh. That's a desire of the flesh. It has desires. But if you don't, if you live for that, read Galatians 6, 9, and 10. You will sow your whole life to that, and your life will end not in the glory of God, but it'll end not very well. Amen. Matthew chapter 18 says, "Sure, I say to you, if you'll bind anything on earth or permit anything on earth, I'll permit it in heaven. If you permit, if you loose or don't permit anything on earth, I won't permit it in heaven." And he says, "I say to you that if two of you will agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it shall be granted for them," or done. I like a translation. Another translation said grant. You will be given a grant. God, you will have a heaven's grant. That is a contract, a legal document given to you, given permission to you, for you to obtain something. A grant. It says, if we will agree, now I can agree with you and pray with you based on your desire and believing that it is a godly desire from the Word, it'll come to pass. Like last year, everything we put down, three things we agreed on, they all come to pass, every single one of them. That's pretty big things. It's selling houses and buying houses and it wasn't for sale. God just worked it all out. But we didn't just snatch that out of the air. The desire had been in there. The desire was in us. The desire was in Josh and Penny. Desire was in Jason and Felicia for a house. God puts the desires, and it all worked out together. Amen. Father, we thank you that you're our God, our Father, our Lord. You take good care of us. Lord, we delight ourselves greatly in you. We delight in the things of God. We delight in reading the Bible. We delight in praising you. We delight in going to church. We delight in giving tithes and offerings. We delight hearing prophecies. We delight, Lord, in doing things for you and working for you and helping you. And everything we can, it gives us great delight knowing you're our God, knowing you're our Father. It delights us. We're more delighted in that than anything on this earth, Lord. We can't think of anything that delights us any more than going to be with you, seeing you and loving you and talking to you and having you talk to us and walking with you, serving you. Oh, how great delight we have in you, our God. All we live for is you. All we want is you. More of you, more of you, Lord. We just want more of you. Lord, we just want to work for you. We just want to have more to give and more to do. But Lord, we have desires as human beings. You know that. You put desires in our heart for nice houses and nice clothes and nice cars and a nice bank account and a nice storehouse where we can put our savings in. That's a desire in us, Lord, that we'll have a good family. Our family will be upright on the earth, and our kids will be strong on the earth, and our kids will cast a great shadow, and they'll be known as men and women of God. That's our delight, Lord. That's our desire, Lord, that we'd be a family of God, that we'd live for you, Lord. That's our desire. We have a desire today, Lord, that our loved ones will be saved. A great desire, Lord, that they'll come into the kingdom and they'll know you and they'll not go to hell. Lord, we have a desire that they'd be born again. We have a desire for a better job, Lord. It's a desire you put in us, Lord, to be great on the earth. Now, Father, we thank you this morning as we set ourselves in position to receive from heaven. Our desire, Lord, is to be strong, is to be healthy, is to be well. Our desire, Lord, is to be healed. We have that desire for our family members to be healed, for our loved ones to be healed, for the joy of the Lord, Lord. Thank you for these desires you've placed in us. And Lord, we agree. And we claim these things. And you said in your word, if we'd agree and if we'd believe, it would come to pass. The Lord, the desire is already there. And you said you would give us the desire of our heart. Now, Lord, we can fully trust and have confidence in knowing today that what we desire shall come to pass. For it is of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You coming up here, Penny? Well, get up here and delight, everybody. I'm through.